I got into this race to save democracy for our state. I mean it. Everything that we care about is on the line, and everything that we care about is likely going to come into our Supreme Court chamber.
That is Janet Protasiewicz, one of the two candidates in the general election for Wisconsin Supreme Court. She was speaking with Pat Kreitlow on Civic Media, and election night continues here on your local Civic Media radio station. And that is the story of the night. Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly moving on to the general election after securing the top two spots. There is certainly just no path to victory for Jennifer Doro or Everett Mitchell, even though the numbers are unofficial and the ballots continue to be counted. We have Maurice Shepard. You had some thoughts as we went to the break at the top of the hour. We had to take care of some legal business. We appreciate you being patient about that. What are some of more of your thoughts about tonight?
Again, it sets the stage for the general. And I think for both Protasiewicz and for Kelly, you know, they're going to have they will have a similar strategy in that sort of the steps that they need to take now will be first secure their base. Their base, once again, came out during the primary. Second, engage moderates. Make sure that the moderates, the ones who maybe didn't show up during the primary, engage them, get them to come out during, once again, the general election. Also, find a way to demobilize your opponents, supporters of your opponent. That in some cases, that may mean going negative in terms of advertising. But can you give them something? If you cannot flip them, do something that will, again, give them a sense of uncertainty that they may think that even if they vote, they will waste their vote and instead they will simply stay home. So I think for both camps moving forward, there's something of the same sort of road. They have the same playbook. How they execute it will be, once again, different and unique and will determine if they win or lose.
I wonder, with so much outside money expected to come into this race, whether the candidates can really control the message. Or will it fall into the hands of those people paying for the television advertisements and the social media messages that we can expect in the next 42 days? It's going to be an action-packed 42 days.
If they want to win, they will control their message. I mean, that's a great question. That's a great question. And that's the difference between, I hate to sound harsh about it, but winners and losers, you know? You have to get out there first. Again, even for someone like Donald Trump, love him or hate him, Trump understood that the first thing you have to do is define your opponent. Once you define them, you have the upper hand from that point, and then you move on. So again, he didn't always do it in the most gracious way, but he was very effective at it.
Todd Albaugh, you were looking at the numbers. What do you see? What stands out to you?
This is a really interesting observation from former State Representative Joe Handrick in his reporting tonight. Looking, this is about 20 minutes old now, but still, I think, pertinent. Right now, two conservatives account for about 46% of the total votes cast. Two liberals account for 54% of the votes cast. Back in 2020, in the primary breakdown then, it was roughly 50-50 back between the conservatives and the liberals back just 3 years ago. So we'll see what these numbers are still out. The only county so far, what I'm looking at that has not reported yet, is Grant County down in far southwest Wisconsin. But pretty much the rest of the counties are at least in the high 80s, if not 95% or more reported so far. The exception may be Ozaukee County, as Don was saying, they're at 69%, and Jennifer Doro is leading right now with 37.4, but Janet Protasiewicz is right behind at 36.6, so still time there to see whether Janet Protasiewicz can pull this out. But I think if you're looking at the total number of votes, this is encouraging. And to Dr. Shepard's point, yes, the maps and people that come out in these primaries are going to be a slightly different breed of cat, if you will, than will come out in the general election in April. But still, if you're Janet Protasiewicz tonight, if you're her team and you're looking at these numbers, I mean, you can't deny that in a base election, Judge Janet Protasiewicz won Outagamie County, which is essentially kind of just west of Green Bay, down towards, including Appleton, and Brown County. The liberal Janet Protasiewicz winning with 41% of the vote in Brown County and with 42% in Outagamie County. She's winning Winnebago County right now with 45% of the vote. This is red Republican area in the Fox Valley, traditionally so. I don't think that Tony Evers even got those kind of numbers last fall. If you look at the map across the state of Wisconsin right now, you're very encouraged tonight. If you could continue that trend, again, to Dr. Shepard's point, it's going to be a new universe of voters. But if you could continue the trend tonight into the general, feeling pretty good tonight.
I want to spend a little bit of time about another race that has statewide implications, and that's the special election in the northern Milwaukee suburbs, the 8th district. It'll be Dan Knodel versus Jody Habish-Sinkin. And what's at stake here is a supermajority or not for state Senate Republicans. Now, there's no bicameral supermajority. They would, if Knodel wins, it's just a supermajority in the Senate. But that's not insignificant. A supermajority in the Senate would yield a certain amount of power, would it not, Todd, Maurice?
Go ahead, Dr. Shepard.
Oh, yeah, it would, in terms of, that would put the legislative Republicans in the driver's seat, that anything they put forward, they would, and if Governor Evers basically would not be able to sort of stop them. So,
Dr. Shepard's mic seems to have cut off. So, since this is radio, we'll get on that as best we can. Todd, what can happen if there's a supermajority in the Senate but not the Assembly?
It really comes down to what they can do with appointments and that sort of thing and confirmations. But to Dr. Shepard's point, and I think to yours, actually, Republicans are still two votes short in the Assembly from having a supermajority
exactly.
there.
Yeah.
So, Governor Evers' veto pen is still very powerful because there's just not a way right now that Republicans can override his vetoes. It would take both houses in order to do that. So really it comes down to a little bit more power in terms of appointments, but overall in terms of overriding any legislation or any vetoes that the governor would make, it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference there.
So this mainly applies to appointments and, we have a lot
confirmations
of confirmations. Like those were delayed during Tony Evers' first term. We've been told that there will be confirmation hearings and votes coming up. So this could affect that dynamic, I would believe.
A little bit. I mean, I think it's going to be very interesting to see that because others made the point during the State of the State address last month that Republicans were really hoping to kind of run out the clock and have a Republican in the governor's seat this term and get Republicans in some of those seats and confirmed. But now they've realized, look, we've got Governor Evers for four more years, and if we try to delay these things for another 4 years, the obstructionist label is really going to stick. So I think despite win or lose this seat, I think you'll still see some of Governor Evers' appointments confirmed just out of simple optics for Republicans.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think the obstructionist strategy seems to be backfiring on them to a large extent. Tough to say whether they'll stick with it or not.
Yeah, I think more interesting from just who wins this race coming up in April is, again, what are the trends happening around southeast Wisconsin right now? Because it's very interesting to see the dynamics of the electorate down there and who they're going to choose and what messaging works down there. I think this story, and I'd be interested in Dr. Shepard's perspective on this and Don's and anybody else, but as I look at the results tonight in the Supreme Court race with Janet Protasiewicz, absolutely, she was unabashed with going on television and radio talking about her support for overturning the 1849 law in Wisconsin on abortion and women's health. And if I remember correctly from last fall, Marquette Law School poll, we have the results on here with Dr. Charles Franklin from Marquette Law School. In that last law school poll just before the November election, Republicans Republican is in the poll, 27% said that they favored having abortion be legal in cases of rape, incest, or endangerment of the mother's life. And I think that's a very important, you know, so Republicans and independents, having that at least option for rape and incest is a big factor, and I think that played a big role in tonight's result.
Thank you much, Todd Alba. Our reporters around the station, I'll ask you to hang on, stand by through the break. We're going to continue this discussion about what's happening statewide with the Supreme Court and the 8th Senate District with Todd Alba and Maurice Shepard. Maurice, we lost. We had some technical glitches. Oh. We hope you're back.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. My batteries, they didn't know that we were going to go this long.
Oh, no. So.
I know. That's okay. I have to go to the back up here. But in terms of, yeah, I think the other point here, just as Todd was mentioning, the particular policy issues are important. But I think those policy issues, reproductive rights and again, campaign and election laws, once again, voting, access to voting and that sort of thing, they're important. But just underneath those, they're important also because they stir up emotions in the political science literature in terms of turning people out. Part of, once again, getting people to participate in politics is political intensity, that you can support someone, but there's also sort of how much do you support them? Right? What is the level of intensity? And for this, once again, for the particular issues that are being discussed right now in Wisconsin, reproductive rights, and once again, voting rights, voting legislation, and that sort, these two, each topic in and of itself generates emotion and passion. Pull those together, you know, now you've really got something. So I think in terms of, once again, moving toward the general, the issues that people are discussing for the state, once again, Supreme Court and other races, those stir up a lot of emotion and passion, and they will turn people out. So I will be interested to see what the final voter turnout numbers are for tonight, understanding that the weather may have, once again, mitigated some of that. But I'll be interested to see how, once again, what those, I think they may be a little higher than expectations.
We're going to crunch some more numbers in just a minute. Don't go away.
I wrote every single opinion when I was on the court. I wrote it with an understanding that the authority I was using was borrowed from the people, and that each opinion I wrote was really a report to them on how I used their borrowed authority. And so I wrote it in each of those opinions in a way that it's accessible to anyone. You don't have to be a lawyer to read and understand the opinions that I wrote.
That's Dan Kelly speaking to PBS Wisconsin. He is one of the two winners of the Supreme Court primary tonight. The short and dirty takeaway is that the big winners tonight are Janet Protasiewicz, Dan Kelly, and Dan Knoedl in the 8th Senate District. I think that would be the thumbnail, really wrap up of what's going on tonight. Although we do want to check in with our reporters around Wisconsin one final time before we send things off. And we haven't heard yet from Western Wisconsin. And it's very exciting that civic media is gaining a foothold in Western Wisconsin now with news stations up and down the western part of the state, Eau Claire and La Crosse, just to name a couple. And Jimmy Kuska, if he is still standing by, he's been very patient throughout the night, but we would like to hear what numbers Jimmy has to share with us for the broadcast. Jimmy.
Terry, good evening. Great to talk to you again, man.
It is nice to talk to you.
All right. Well, I want to first update you on the county I actually live in, which is Grant County. We had a circuit court race here, and the results came in for that just a bit ago. Grant County is one of the slowest counties to report, But Lisa Reinecker and Jennifer Day will both advance in the circuit court race in Grant County. Jeffrey Erickson was the third person in that primary. So Reinecker and Day each 2671 and 2407 respectively, with votes Erickson with 1268. So that's where we're at. Now, in Western Wisconsin, there weren't any big type of races. There was one very interesting one in La Crosse, where in the school board election in La Crosse, there were four vacancies. Four of the current school board all filed for non-candidacy, so they were not running again. So it was nine people competing for four seats. So tonight the primary eliminated one of those. And a lot of that came because of a referendum that failed last fall for $194 million that would have consolidated La Crosse Central and La Crosse Logan High Schools. A lot of fallout. It was overwhelmingly rejected by voters, and that brought about a number of community groups to run for school boards. So four of the current members filed for non-candidacy. One school board member, after they voted to approve the referendum, actually dramatically left the school board and resigned it during the referendum approval process. So that was an interesting one in Western Wisconsin. But overall, I think the trends that you've been talking about tonight in terms of the rural counties with the state Supreme Court race, some very, very close vote totals in some counties. For example, in Chippewa County, Dan Kelly had nine more votes than Protasewicz. So Chippewa County, I saw that Kelly won in counties like Polk County, in Russ County, Northwestern, very rural counties, but very close in counties like Dunn and, as I mentioned, Chippewa in Monroe County. Some very close results there if you're just looking at the raw totals in the primary. Now, I understand it's a primary, and there's other factors, there's more context to it. But as you were talking about counties like Taylor County and some of the ones further into central Wisconsin, a lot of the rural counties in Wisconsin went for Dan Kelly over Janet Protasewicz.
Very good. Thank you much. Jimmy Cuska, based in southwest Wisconsin, thank you much. Terry Barr. Let's take one last look at the races that you were keeping an eye on tonight.
You will be excited, as I am. I have some numbers from Racine now.
Okay, that is exciting.
I know we've been waiting all night And what I learned, they actually will count them, but then put them on a spreadsheet and share those after everything is fully counted.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have the final numbers for you as we were monitoring the Racine mayor race. Again, the top two vote getters will move on to April. And the very top is the incumbent mayor right now, Corey Mason. Now, some may recognize his name. He served in the state assembly and then ran for mayor in 2017. It was a special election where he was voted to complete the previous mayor's term, re-elected again in 2019. And his main focus is nothing to do with public safety, unlike the other candidates he was running against. His main thing is to continue redeveloping the downtown area of Racine. He had 3,607 votes. The next person behind him, 1,000 votes less than that, at 2,561, and that will be Henry Perez. Henry is a pastor and a Racine alder since 2013. His platform is all about public safety. So they are standing on opposite grounds. Henry was also the one saying, if anything happens, we have to get the incumbent out of office. So this will be interesting to watch as we move forward in April. And nothing has changed as far as the Madison mayor's race goes. We're at 99% now. And yes, Sacha Rhodes Conway is the incumbent mayor. She has 59% of the total vote. And then Gloria Reyes, 28% of the total vote. It has remained pretty much that same number the entire night.
Very good. Thank you, Terry Barr. We appreciate it. Melissa Kay, let's take one last look at the numbers you've been watching in central Wisconsin and the Fox Valley.
So for the Outagamie County executive, the top two is the incumbent Tom Nelson will move on with 50% of the vote. And Kevin Stern secured the second place there with 28% of the vote. So they will move on there. In Green Bay, like we mentioned, with 100% reporting, that is such a tight race. Chad Weininger took just a few more votes than the incumbent Eric Genrick. He took 87 more votes. So those two will move on to the primary. In Portage County, the incumbent mayor, Mike Wiese, secured the majority of votes. So him and Melissa Johnson will move on to the primary election. And in the Wisconsin Rapids School Board, the incumbent took in the second highest number of votes.
Interesting.
That's John Krings, and he is the school board president and has been for 16 years. So Kathy Stebbin-Hines took more votes than him, but she has a long history in the district with being a teacher, a former principal of a couple of the schools, and the curriculum director for a number of years there. So they will both move on, as well as Mike Deary, who ran during the last election cycle. So I think he got some name recognition. And then also Chris Inda, who also ran in the last election cycle. And it'll be interesting to see. That is one I'm going to be very closely watching as we get into the primary there.
Thank you so much, Melissa Kay. Get some sleep. You have to get up early. My goodness.
3 a.m. comes early.
Oh, boy, does it ever. Don Brown is standing by at the WAUK studios in Waukesha. Don, what's happening in southeast Wisconsin?
Hi, Terry. To recap, in the three special aldermanic races in Milwaukee, it will be in the first district, Andrea Pratt and David Bowen competing in April, both from more political name families, if you will. In District 5, we have a business owner in Lamont, Westmoreland, and a city employee, not like in a director-level position, but worked in three different departments. Annette Jackson will be vowing for the seat in the April general election. And then in District 9, a retired school teacher and a current school teacher, Odell Ball and Laressa Taylor, respectively, they finished first and second to compete in the April general election. And then in the state, as we know from earlier on, it'll be Dan Knodel beating out the other Republican candidates, and he'll face Jody Habish-Sinikin in the April election. And there was a discussion earlier that you started, Terry, that in this 8th Senate district, is there an opportunity perhaps for the Democrats to take this and maybe offset some of the balance of power in the state Senate? And, a couple things come to mind in Waukesha County, which is part of this. You talk about fair maps. This Senate district pulls from the four different Metro Milwaukee counties, which is I don't know of any congressional seats that do that. But
wow.
Anyway, yeah. So, but in Waukesha County in 2020, Donald Trump's margin of victory was 5% lower than it was in 2016, and I think the same could potentially be said for the other WOW counties, especially if Habish-Sinikin can tie her horse to the Supreme Court race in Protasewicz. And what's at stake for women and what's at stake for our democracy here? And again, I think because you kind of have a well-educated electorate here in the WOW, that you may have some swing votes that could potentially go towards Sinikin in that that general election race.
Very good. Thank you much, Don Brown and Waukesha. You've done a great job all night.
Thanks
we have
so
just
much,
about 2.5-3 minutes left. I will leave it to our analysts, Todd Aubaugh and Maurice Shepard, one last time to sum up some of their reflections on what transpired here tonight.
Well, the only thing I will say is I think that in terms of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and the training that they have for, once again, election officials and volunteers, it sounds like everything went pretty good tonight. So I tip my hat to them for doing a good administrative job.
Very good. And Maurice Shepard from Madison College, we appreciate all of your insights and valuable observations throughout this primary election night. You did a lot of great things for this broadcast, and we appreciate it at Civic Media.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Todd Aubaugh.
Following Charles Franklin, a great guy, really smart guy, great person. He's the guy who runs the Marquette Law School poll, knows numbers like the back of his hand. He makes this point tonight. With 93% of expected votes in, here are the county splits between the two liberal court candidates, Protasewicz and Mitchell, and the two conservatives, Kelly and Darrow. It's a bit more blue than the governor or Senate races in 2022, but reminds us the primary may not predict April. But looking at the map, Southwest Wisconsin, all are blue trending more blue across. The only exception would be as far as trending a bit more red would be Buffalo County, just north of La Crosse, and then Pepin County, just north of that, as far as how they trend. But if you look at the map tonight across the state of Wisconsin, Janet Protasiewicz has won the entire 17th Senate district in southwest Wisconsin, my former boss Dale Schultz's district, in every county, Juneau County down to Grant, over to Greene County in Monroe. That's a key, that southwest part of the state. That's where Tony Evers has either won before or he's lost by a slimmer margin than Democrats in the past. If you look at central Wisconsin, around Marathon County, Wausau, Janet Protasiewicz winning there, and of course we've been talking about it all night, Fox Valley, Outagamie, and Brown County, Judge Janet Protasiewicz winning there. Yes, April 4th is going to be a brand new election. The erase the boards. But if you look at where the progressive candidate won tonight, very impressive.
Very good. And speaking of very impressive, I want to thank everyone who joined us tonight. Our reporters around Wisconsin, Don Brown, Melissa Kay, Terry Barr, Jimmy Cuska. Production tonight from the capable hands of Evan Preston and Brian Kelly. I'm Terry Bell for Todd Aubaugh and Marie Shepard. Thanking you very much for listening to Civic Media's election night coverage. We will have more coverage and analysis all day long tomorrow on your Civic Media Radio Network stations. Good night, everyone.